What possible connection could there be between nuclear magnetic resonance and the electrical currents you studied at GCSE? You might have done an experiment with a length of copper wire carrying an electrical current and a magnetic compass. If you did, you might remember that the compass needle pointed anywhere but due north. This experiment was meant to show you that electrical currents and magnetic fields can interact with each other. If you didn't do this particular experiment, you might have been taught about the moving molten iron core inside the Earth, giving rise to the North and South Poles. But don't worry if your memory doesn't stretch to this, as long as you realise that there is some sort of interaction between magnets and electrical current, you'll be able to follow the rest of this talk. Some of the experiments that you did when you were studying ions were meant to show you the link between moving charges and an electrical current. It's quite simple. Whenever charge moves, that's an electrical current. The charge doesn't have to move in a straight line either, the way it has to in a wire or in your experiments with potassium manganate 7. If the charge is just spinning quietly away around an axis, just like the Earth spins on its axis, there is still the possibility of an electrical current that can interact with a magnetic field. So, what's all this physics doing in a chemistry tutorial? Go back and think about what NMR stands for, nuclear magnetic resonance. Think about what you know about the structure of a nucleus. Forget the neutrons for a moment and concentrate on the protons there. Do you imagine that they're just sitting motionless in a nucleus? Or is it just possible we've got spinning protons and the possibility of electromagnetic interactions between the right kind of nucleus and a socking big magnet? The magnet has to provide a huge magnetic field to offset the fact that the tiny charge on a spinning proton isn't going to produce much in the way of an electrical current. The right kind of nucleus? That's a bit vague. Let's see if we can't sharpen up this idea. What NMR really needs to work on are nuclei with odd numbers of nucleons inside. Remember the spin pairing of electrons you were taught about? Well, you might like to think about nucleons in the nucleus in a similar way, although this isn't the whole picture, but it never is it? You need unpaired spin in the nucleus to produce a net electromagnetic interaction. Just think about the hydrogen atoms that electron density maps can't show very well. The single proton in the hydrogen nucleus can interact quite well with strong magnetic fields. And what about all those hydrogen atoms in soft human tissue? What a chance to supplement X-rays, which can only detect hard bone structures. There are other atoms that can interact with magnetic fields, like fluorine and special and very expensive isotopes of nitrogen. Yeah, good for amino acids and protein worker. I've used the word interaction quite a lot. Perhaps it's time to try to explain what happens when an NMR spectrum is taken. The spinning proton in a hydrogen atom can either line itself up with the magnetic field, a low energy state, or try to line itself up in opposition to the magnetic field, in a high energy state. Or it might flip from one alignment to another. If it flips, it will need energy to do so. The ready transfer of energy is called resonance. We're edging closer to understanding what is involved in nuclear magnetic resonance, flipping little protons in a strong magnetic field. The flipping protons will need different amounts of energy depending on their chemical environments. This makes NMR a really useful tool for finding out about the number of chemical environments there are for hydrogen atoms in a molecule. More flipping protons mean more energy absorbed. So NMR can also tell you about the number of hydrogen atoms in each environment. Let me try to explain this a bit more. If I was looking at an NMR spectrum of methane, I might expect to see just one resonance peak, because there is just one type of chemical environment for hydrogen atoms in a molecule of methane, at an arbitrary strength of 4 units, because there are 4 hydrogen atoms in the molecule. If we switch to methanol, I'd expect to see 2 resonance peaks, because there are 2 different chemical environments for the hydrogen atoms, one in the methyl group and the other in the hydroxyl group. I wouldn't expect the 2 peaks to have the same intensity, though, because there are 3 hydrogen atoms in the methyl environment and only 1 in the hydroxyl group. The peaks might therefore have a 3-to-1 intensity ratio. Perhaps you might like to think about ethanol and explain to yourself why there might be 3 major peaks with relative intensities of 3-to-2-to-1. The standard used to calibrate NMR spectra has loads, well, 12 actually, of flipping protons in the same chemical environment, so it gives a good, strong, unmistakable marker against which to measure the chemical shift of all your other peaks. The more complicated details of NMR spectra can be summed up by paraphrasing an old poem, "No hydrogen atom is an island." I'll leave you to think about that one. But if you are interested, you might look up J.J. Coupling in a book.